When we think of wise people, God-fearing people, there's something that they choose and that they cultivate, and that is what is good and what is right. Yet the difference between what is good and what is evil isn't always that obvious. Evil sometimes disguises itself as good, and good is often portrayed as evil in this world. I'm sure you can identify with that. The Bible tells us that even the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. And so one of the chief tactics of the devil is deception. It's to tempt people into choosing evil by making it appear good, and then rejecting what is good by convincing us that it is actually harmful. And therefore, we have a great need for discernment, the ability to choose between right and wrong, distinguish between good and evil. Now, this is exactly what King Solomon asked God for when he started out his rule as king. He asked in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may," listen to this, "discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your people?" So Solomon, when he succeeded his father, David, he had a real sense of the duty that was before him. And it was very different from the duty of pagan kings. Pagan kings did what they wanted to do. But the kings of Israel, they were under God's law, they were accountable to the prophets, and they were responsible to rule in such a way that they reflected God's justice and righteousness. And Solomon felt the weight of that, and that is why he asked God for wisdom so that he could judge rightly, without being deceived by impressions, partiality, or falsehood. Now, we're not kings in Israel, but we are followers of Christ, and we are his representatives in a world full of lies, deception, delusion, and what we hear all the time nowadays, misinformation and disinformation. And therefore, we stand in constant need of discernment, so that we are not fooled by the appearance of things, but so that we can judge rightly, so that our actions can be examined purely. And from that, our motives and our actions flow. Now, in the book of Proverbs, discernment is one of the expressions of wisdom. Some of the other expressions is true knowledge, to know the truth, or spiritual insight, that is to understand the truth, and the skill to live out the truth. But discernment highlights this distinctive element of wisdom, which is the ability to choose. Actually, the word gives the basic understanding of dividing things, much like a shepherd would be able to divide the sheep from the goats. Now, in some places in the world, I don't know whether you know, sheep and goats could look remarkably the same. But a shepherd who knows will not make that mistake, and so can divide the sheep from the goats. And so we need to be able to have discernment so that we can divide what is true from that which is false. And so although when you read through the book of Proverbs, the idea or the actual word discernment doesn't occur very much, the idea actually permeates the book. And discernment in the book is like a dividing line that divides people into two groups, the wise and the simple. And the wise are able to distinguish truth from error and rightly respond to it. But the simple, they fail to do so. And consequently, they pay the price for their folly. Our key text tonight on discernment is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. So the simple, they are the spiritually naive, the undiscerning, unable to consistently tell right from wrong. They accept whatever seems or feels right in the moment, and then they act without careful consideration. And because they don't weigh and test ideas and influences against the Word of God, in dependence on the Spirit, they are gullible and unguarded in what they believe, what they embrace, and what they practice. As a result, they are very easily misled and stumble. In contrast, the prudent, they are spiritually perceptive and discerning, able to distinguish truth from falsehood. They don't accept things based on appearance, emotion, or impulse, but rather they carefully and prayerfully test claims in the light of the Word, seeking help from the Spirit to work out whether something is true and right before God, before they will believe it and before they act upon it. As a result, they're not easily misled. Now, let's picture these two people. Picture them with me. Imagine the simple. Walking through life without a proper light, compass, or a map. Just relying on his own senses and intuition. They follow whichever path appears most appealing, wandering from track to track. They have little regard for the warning signs or for the other characters who they follow or may be accompanying them on the way. They do not consider the destination to which their path is taking them, nor are they concerned about the deviations, the snares, and the pitfalls on the journey. Imagine such a person. Now imagine with me, on the other hand, the prudent, the discerning, walking through life not relying on their own perception of reality, but in the light of God's Word, the compass of His moral standards, and the direction of His Spirit. They don't choose a path because it's popular, attractive, or easy, but because it is right before the Lord. They pay close attention to the warning signs. They choose their companions and their counselors carefully, and they refuse to follow those who do not consistently walk in the ways of Christ. With their eyes fixed on their heavenly destination, they reject lies that would mislead them, temptations that would ensnare them, and they repent of their sins that would hinder and harm them on the way. Which of these two descriptions best reflect you? The simple or the prudent? The undiscerning or the discerning? Do you walk with your spiritual eyes open? Or are you effectively blind or blindfolded as you travel through life? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 gives us a vivid contrast. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to to his steps. Now, there are endless ways in which we are able, or in which we can be deceived. And that is why we have to be vigilant and discerning. Yet, there's remarkably little emphasis placed on discernment in churches. I don't know whether you've ever heard a sermon on discernment. And there are astonishing levels of gullibility among Christians. And this underscores the desperate need for discernment in the church today. Now, before I carry on, I want to show you this little book. I don't know when I got it, but this many years ago, and it was sitting in the shelf, I never read it. And then I read it for this sermon. I thought, why didn't I not read this earlier? So this is by Jay Adams. He's by many people, he's considered to be like the father of biblical counseling. And this is such a good read on discernment. He has excellent illustrations of the gullibility of Christians and what they get themselves into. So if you want this book, this is not a great copy. You can come to me and I will get you a nicer copy. But then you're going to have to read it. So you can come to me if you want Jay Adams and be in good company about discernment. So, anyways. So in our text, we've already been confronted with the reality that we can't accept every claim, opinion, rumor, appearance, or impression that we get uncritically. Wise and God-fearing people test truth, weigh motives, examine evidence, and consider consequences carefully and prayerfully before the Lord, rather than simply taking things at face value. And because it's so vital for God's people to be spiritually vigilant and discerning, the book of Proverbs gives us many examples of discerning versus undiscerning. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at three examples that cover actually quite a lot of ground to show us the difference between discerning and undiscerning. The first example is in the area of perverted and smooth speech. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and also verse 16. Perverted and smooth speech. Proverbs 2, verse 11 and 12, and also verse 16. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. Verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Now, we've noted these two characters, these two dangers, several times before, as we've gone through the book of Proverbs. And they tell us that we have a constant need for spiritual discernment. But there's something I want to highlight about where the discernment really is needed. What is the bait that those people use who get us into the wrong crowd, either violence, the wrong group of friends, or into relationships that God doesn't want us, immorality? And it's this, their speech. Well, they promise pleasure and prosperity, yes, these things they promise and they're short-lived, but the thing that catches people finally is their speech. Perverted and smooth words. And this is the language that distorts the reality and disguises the danger. It is speech that turns truth on its head and hides what is destructive. It pressures us to question, even become offended by what is right, while making what is wrong feel justifiable, and even attractive. Now think about it. When people drawing us into the wrong stuff, the mind games that's going on. Now, discernment recognizes both the distortion and the danger in such speech. It looks past the appealing surface and detects what sits underneath. So that, to use a simple image, it can smell the rotten fish behind the polished presentation. It is critical to realize that perverted and smooth speech isn't just used to lure us into bad company and forbidden romance. It's one of the devil's primary tools to draw us into one form of folly or another, like unethical business practices, any type of corruption or moral compromise. Now, I want to highlight one area where the devil uses this very effectively, and this is in the area of doctrine. What is taught and believed in the church? And the New Testament contains many warnings of false teachers and prophets. And what do they use? Corrupt speech and smooth words. Listen to Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to doctrine that has been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve the Lord Jesus, but their own appetites. Now listen to this. By smooth talk and flattery deceive the hearts of the naive. Again, notice the instrument of deception, smooth talk and flattery. And this teaching is designed to make people feel good, appealing to the flesh, excusing sin, accommodating worldly thinking, rather than exposing and challenging it. Such doctrine isn't driven by devotion to Christ, but by a pursuit of self-interest and sinful desire. And so the question that confronts us is, in this area of speech and teaching, are we discerning? Can we recognize lies behind the polished language, the appealing words, the persuasive arguments that tell people what they want to hear? Well, the spiritual discerning are able to do this because they can spot patterns like that, and they can distinguish truth from error. Let's go to the next example. The next example is partiality in judgment. For this, have a listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. The gullible person jumps to conclusions after hearing only one side of the matter. He is easily persuaded by the confidence, the assertiveness, the emotion, and even the tears of the first person who presents his or her case. Convinced by appearance, he feels there's no need to investigate any further and considers the matter settled. In contrast, the discerning person isn't content to hear only one part of the story. So he investigates further, probes deeper, listens longer, and he suspends his judgment until all the relevant facts have been considered from all sides. Rather than rushing to a verdict, he patiently tests the credibility and accuracy of what has been said. And this principle also applies to people's theological or doctrinal positions. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul commends the Christians in Berea for not accepting his teaching straight away, but only after they have tested it against Scripture. Listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Like the Bereans, we should be eager to learn and grow in the faith, but our eagerness must be matched with spiritual discernment. While we must remain teachable, we must examine everything in the light of Scripture so that our faith does not rest on human opinion, personality, persuasion, but on the truth of God's Word. Now, this doesn't mean that we should become completely closed-minded. In an effort to guard against false teaching, some people become so suspicious that they refuse to seriously examine anything other than their own view. Unless it's their own view, they will reject it outright. That is not spiritual discernment. True discernment is neither, listen to this, gullible nor cynical. It is open-minded, yet carefully guided by the Spirit and governed by the truth of Scripture. A question for you. Are you quick to form conclusions and hasty in your judgments? Or are you patient and willing to let the whole truth shape your opinions and your convictions? Well, the discerning person is. Let's go to the third example. So we've already mentioned the suspicion of those people who are suspicious of anyone who doesn't have their view. This moves us to the issue of self-deception, which is our third example. Now, to illustrate self-deception, listen to these two proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. One of the deepest forms of gullibility is self-deception. The fool assumes he is right and resists any correction, ignores counsel, and avoids self-examination. But the discerning knows that she cannot implicitly trust her own heart. Instead, she trusts in the Lord, who is faithful and who alone knows her heart and can purify it. Recognizing her own limitations and fallibility, she is humble and teachable before the Lord, open to his scrutiny, correction, and counsel. Now, David gives us a beautiful picture of this posture. Listen to him in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And here is a mark of a discerning person. Readiness to have their motives examined by the Lord, their thinking corrected by His truth, their plans redirected by His will, through whichever means He chooses. Are we like that? So we looked at four areas where we need to exercise discernment. What we choose to believe and base our lives upon, responding to perverted and smooth words, exercising judgment in partiality, and avoiding self-deception. And these are just samples of where we need discernment in everyday life. But now the question is, how can we actually develop discernment? A key text that answers the question is what Eric read out to us in Hebrews chapter 5. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Hebrews 5 verse 14. How can we develop discernment? But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Notice that discernment isn't something mystical, something that's automatic. It's actually developed and trained through constant use. Just as physical senses become sharper when they are repeatedly exercised, spiritual discernment grows as we continually apply the solid food of God's Word to life. And not just the easy bits in God's Word, but the whole counsel of God's Word. Now, central to learning discernment is God's Word. God uses His Word to train us in discernment. And discernment grows as we abide in Christ and allow His truth to shape our minds, our hearts, and our lives. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus says, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples, truly My disciples, and you," who can complete this, "will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the key to knowing the truth is abiding in Christ's Word. If we are going to discern truth from error, we must continue in Christ's teaching through faith, dependence, and obedience. And that's not just the mark of a follower of Christ. It's actually God's ordained way of keeping us free from error and from evil. The more we give ourselves to Christ, the more our minds are renewed to know what is that good and perfect will of God in every situation. And the more His grace transforms us inwardly, motivating us and enabling us to live according to that will of God. And that is why Christ-centered Bible study, preaching, and teaching are essential to discernment. It is the standard, the yardstick, by which every truth claim must be measured. The better we know the yardstick, not just intellectually, but relationally, the more we are capable of making good judgments about what we see, hear, and what we feel. So, let's go to the next element of how we develop discernment. And discernment isn't just an effort it's not just a human effort, but it's a deeply spiritual thing for which we need the Holy Spirit. We need His enabling and His enlightening, let alone to understand His Word, let alone to apply His Word. So in every situation requiring discernment, whether it's about forming a conviction, examining motives, making decisions and judgments, or shaping our responses about how we should speak, what we should do, we must depend on the Holy Spirit. And this is why Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 exhorts us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Have you thought about what that means? Pray at all times in the Spirit. And that is to pray, or that is to pray and depend on the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, control us, give us wisdom, and help us in all things. So we've spoken about the place of God's Word in discernment. We've spoken about the place of God's Spirit in discernment. The third thing we must mention is the place of God's people in discernment. Discernment, like other gifts and graces, isn't cultivated in isolation, but within the context of Christian community and fellowship. I'm going to take us to a very familiar text, not actually read the text, but just reflect on that. And that's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Now, what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16 says, it says that Christ gave the church pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that the body of Christ, which is the church, may be built up to unity in doctrine, maturity in Christ-like character, and loving relationships. Without this, Christians remain immature, ignorant, gullible, unstable, and unloving. They are, the image that Paul uses is like a small boat that doesn't have a rudder, and it's tossed by the wind and the waves. And that is what false teaching would do. If people are not in the context of a sound Christian church, where they sit under the preaching of God's Word, where they fellowship with other Christians. So, dear brothers and sisters, without commitment to a church, without sitting under sound Bible preaching and teaching, sharing in fellowship with one another, we will not grow in discernment as we should. In conclusion, discernment isn't optional for the Christian life. It is vital. It is a God-given skill of discerning right from wrong, truth from falsehood, good from evil. We cultivate it as we abide in the Word of Christ, rely on the Spirit's help, and grow in fellowship with His people. And Proverbs chapter 14 verse 15 captures our need for this discernment. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. May we believe only what is true, and may we be careful to act on that truth in relationship to Christ. Amen.